Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
What changed as the game went along for you guys on defense?
We just all got to be on the same page, man. I mean, we got guys, just being honest, we got guys some guys just kind of being like kind of selfish, because guys, I get it. I mean, we're down, guys want to make plays. I get it, but, everybody got to, I'm talking about defense. Everybody has to play at 11, as 11, and everybody got to, sacrifice to do what's best for the team, I know some guys want to make plays when we're down, trying to, get back in the game, but we got to just keep going as a team and play team defense.
It's aggressive from Devon Godchow. Not saying he's wrong, but that's aggressive. We're selfish. I don't want to lie. Some guys out here are playing selfish. So where are we at with that all week long last week? Mayo said it. We talked to Dietrich Wise last Friday on a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. All week long it was, we got to keep contain. We let Aaron Rodgers break contain, and then Brock Purdy does the exact same thing. And players are starting to grouse about it. Coaches are starting to grouse about it. We can get to that here this hour. And we'll also get you an update on Jeremy Swayman. Some numbers are emerging. And, perhaps Cam Neely spoke out of turn. So we'll get to that later on this hour along with Kiefer Madness. But joining us right now here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI is Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. It's a Tom E. Tuesday. He's brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, which were delicious.
Yes, they were.
I dreamt about those last night. New England Sandwich Shop, FlexCar. You can save thousands with flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and buy Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop in on the way from work, and minutes away from proven weekly weight loss at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. Now, was it my flex of the game last week with you guys talking about
breaking
Aaron
contain?
Rodgers,
yes.
Can't. I mean, it was really just major shoulders sag the first time Keon White went too far inside, and Purdy just scooted around the edge like you knew he would. I mean, it's just, and the one time they showed that contain with two guys up the field and creating a little umbrella in the pocket, he had nowhere to go. He gets sacked. It's just, I hear Devon Godshaw's point, whether they take that this week, I think, and I'm sorry to babble here at the outset.
Good.
Such a good clip. That's where they're teetering a smidge. The schedule's going to get easier. There should be some easier opponents. But last week was a big week, and I think that, the general mood is going to teeter a bit. And Mayo's done a good job with the culture so far, but you know, you got to reel it in whilst not pissing guys off, but also getting them to heal.
So you went right to Keon White. We were kind of wondering, is it Keon White? Is it somebody else freelancing on? Like, who do you think he's talking about in that that clip from Devon Godshaw yesterday?
Well, I thought the Keon White was responsible on a couple of the times he got caught inside, and he's such a tremendous player that, you know, I think that he might have gotten locked up there with, I don't know if it was Trent Williams exactly, but, you know, okay, well, he's got me here. I'm going to try and beat him here. And he started to move inside, was kind of over where the guard would be, and that just opened up an alley. I don't know if it's necessarily Keon White that Devon Godshaw's talking about, and I'm not sure if that was him trying to make a play or getting blocked there, but I would imagine that it's virtually everyone at different times as they're trying to play with a semblance. I mean, the way they're getting chunk played is something that will lead to desperation. It's one thing when you're playing the general defense, the scheme, and they're picking up 4, 4, and 3. Okay, they move the chains, but the chunk plays make it look like A, somebody's trying to do too much, and B, they're getting desperate.
Do you think it's good, bad, or indifferent that Godshaw's calling out his team? Nobody specifically, but still very much calling out guys on defense publicly.
Good. Depends how it's received. It just depends how it's received. You know, it's like I said, it's a tenuous time. There's different ways. You know, if Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork were to any of those front seven guys call somebody out, it was a great team. And those guys had a backlog of experience and success on playoff teams and winning Super Bowls. Somebody might look at Godshaw, and I'm not saying they should, but you might have individuals, we've all been in workplaces, and say, what are you talking about? What are you doing?
How much should we look at Elliott Wolf's roster construction, specifically with the quarterback? I know a lot has been made about offensive line and other spots, but talking about the quarterback, where I feel like they put way too much faith in Jacoby Brissett to either certainly stay healthy, which he's done to this point, but I know you've been on that for a while. Like, how long can he stay healthy with the hits that he's taking? But if they don't want to play Drake May, I almost like threw my hands up in the air this week, Tom. I was like, all right, if they're not going to play Drake May, fine. But to not have any other alternative to Jacoby Brissett, I feel like that was a big failure by Elliott Wolf. How you don't have another veteran quarterback that you could turn to based on poor performance, or even freaking Bailey Zappe still hanging around on the roster. Do you look at that at all?
To an extent, and I think that the decision to hire Alex Van Pelt really dictated who he was going to bring in, who he was most comfortable with, who his quarterback would be. I mean, I know the Raiders aren't killing it, and I know he's never going to go to a Pro Bowl, and he's not going to go to Canton. But I kind of like Gardner Minshew.
Ooh, we do too. We like him here too. It's a Gardner Minshew friendly zone. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And oh, thank you. Good. I feel at home because I'll walk that out with Phil, and I get clubbed with a noodle. But if I, and I started to see the logic of Justin Fields. Because my general feeling on this team was it had been held hostage for 2 years by the offensive line. That needed to be stabilized. So I liked the idea of trading down, maximizing picks, bringing someone in, having the foundation laid before you brought a quarterback in. And I cannot scream at people who feel otherwise, but I still think that my general thought was okay. So if you brought in Justin Fields or Gardner Minshew, but when you decided, okay, we're not getting any of these other coordinators, let's go with Alex Van Pelt. Older guy, that could be a nice fit. Calm guy, that could be a nice fit. He knows the league. He's had success. We'll bring him in and he'll lay a foundation and it will be stable. So once you hire that individual, you're going to yield a lot to his vision for what he thinks a rebuild should look like. It shouldn't look like this, but he didn't also count on David Andrews and City So and chaos at the left tackle. So a lot of it goes to Alex Van Pelt and the decision made to bring him in. And I'm not criticizing it necessarily because I do like the adult in the room and the stability of an older guy. But I think Elliott Wolf just was looking at clouds and telling us it was a perfect day. I mean, that you would draft Caden Wallace and say he'll be our left tackle along with the guy that you signed in free agency, Chukwuma Okorafor, who was going to be the left tackle until Caden Wallace was ready. And now Chukwuma is long gone and hard to find, and Caden Wallace, unfortunately, is hurt and hasn't played that spot really well. It's just, it's malpractice. It's been malpractice, and they continue it.
We're talking to Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. You can check out all his work at NBC Sports Boston. Quick slants tonight. I want to circle back to something you said earlier. You think Mayo's done a good job with the culture?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think he's done a good job with the culture.
Okay, because we're talking about Chukwuma Okorafor leaving the team, and we're talking about Devon Godchaux calling out teammates, and just, I don't know, that seems like it's at least questionable what's going on in the locker room. But why do you disagree, I guess?
Well, if you use those examples, I guess Chukwuma Okorafor didn't like it because they were mean to him. And they asked him to do things, and they had expectations for him. So that's part of establishing a culture. If a guy doesn't want to be here and he ends up leaving, that's not a bad sign for the culture. I think that bending to appease the player who was not productive and now is unhappy would be more culturally damaging.
How about, let me give you an example of bending to the player. How about Stevenson with the fumbles? That would be an example of bending to the player.
I think that there's merit to putting him on the bench. I mean, I you want to go back and forth on this.
Well, I just am curious because
I think it's been
culture seems a little questionable.
You're 4 weeks into the season. They've got a crap ton of injuries. You're a first-year head coach. I don't think it's been an utter and outright disaster. We're not seeing mutinies. You're seeing a quarterback get served a poop sandwich with no bread every week and stand up and deal with it pretty well. You've not seen a lot of finger pointing. You get the Devon Godchaux, but Christ, they're getting absolutely hammered. I'm not surprised that somebody points the finger. I mean, that happens every year in every locker room. I don't really think that that's a sign that things are crumbling. Is it the greatest culture in the world? Am I intimating that? No, but I think that I'm grading on where they are right now, the situation that they're in, and what the general tenor around the team and the locker room is. And I think it's kind of stable. I don't think it's chaos. I mean, last year was friggin' chaos between J.C. Jackson and Jack Jones. And I mean, how was the culture then? You've marooned the quarterback. I mean, it's better now than it was. So I guess that's the curve.
How big a game then is it this weekend, considering how bad Miami looked last night? They're down to their fourth string quarterback, I guess, the guy who they just signed off the street a week ago. You were talking about how, where things are at right now. You know, you lose to San Francisco. Yeah, okay. A lot of teams lose to San Francisco. But if you lose at home to this horrible looking Miami team, what kind of domino effect could that have?
Yeah, then we could probably have a cultural conversation based upon the tenor after that game. I mean, I'm not stunned that they got their asses handed to them. You're not either.
Right.
The way it looked, we can absolutely still, as ugly as it looks on the surface, you can still say, well, this, and this probably contributed to that. But against Miami, you're going to have very few excuses to fall back on. Okay, so they're probably going to miss Jalen Phillips, their defensive end. So you should have a reduced pass rush that they're bringing. They don't have Nick Bosa. They don't have Fred Warner. So you have a better chance to put a representative effort out there as to where you are in this rebuild. And, the next five games are probably better indicators than the first four. Where is it headed? We could definitely have a better culture conversation after the next five games than in the wake of a 31-13 drubbing.
Tommy Curran nailed his flex of the game last week. It's time again for Tommy Curran's flex of the game, presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. What's your flex of the game for this week, Tom?
Flex of the game is fewer reps for Ramondre Stevenson. Big game for Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson goes off, and there you have another controversy. Should Antonio Gibson be the every down back? Antonio Gibson ran for 22 carries for 104 yards. And people really like the way he played because he punched it in twice down at the goal line. I ran out of breath. I had so many predictions.
That's good, though. That's a lot. Yeah, we'll keep track of all those. I throw a lot at it, see what sticks. I like that. That's pretty good. Have you given up, like I have, guessing when Drake May is going to play, or is that something that's still kind of on your radar?
I think the timeline stuff is less and we've all done it, and I've done it too. When's he going to play? When's he going to play? And we pick a date, and, you know, like a baby's, you know, expected date.
Uh-huh.
And it has less to do with when as opposed to what it looks like. When it looks okay between him and the team able to actually execute plays so that he's running an NFL offense as they envisioned, then he'll play. So certainly not yet on the latter portion.
And next year.
That's what I was just going to ask. Like, to take it through his logical conclusion, if it doesn't look right, he should not play this year, right? I mean, if they're going to stick to their plan, if it doesn't look right and it doesn't get fixed, he shouldn't play this
year,
correct?
He ain't playing.
I love when you do that counselor stuff.
Well, I'm just saying.
Counselor,
if it doesn't look, that's what we're talking about. You
take a thread and say Tommy Curran just said they're going to bench May for the whole year.
I didn't say that.
Why?
I'm saying if it doesn't look right, at the end, when you say correct, it's
a feature of the way you ask questions. You distill it, and then at the end you say, "So that's what you're saying."
Okay, but if it doesn't look right,
gives you a chance.
If it doesn't look right all year, he shouldn't play. Right? If they're going to stick to their plan, I mean, I think that's consistent. I don't like that plan, but if that's their plan, he shouldn't play if it doesn't look right.
I think you come to a point where you're just sitting in there and not getting any yield from his first year in terms of seeing him on the field. So I think at this juncture, while the season is still, quote unquote, in the balance, and you have the illusion of being a competitive team, you leave it alone. But when it turns into garbage time, if you didn't use them, you know, I've said a couple times in the last few days, I landed on this. Once there's six games under 500, put them out there, regardless.
Okay. Well, there we go. So that might be hard to find on the schedule, but maybe about 6 weeks from now, based on the way they're playing. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. You can check out all his work.
I wasn't mad. That was just an exchange. That is something you do, and I just, I'm like, oh boy, now I got
to
dig out.
No, it's comparing me to a lawyer. My parents would be very proud. you can check out his work at Quickslants, NBC Sports Boston tonight. New episode there. We talk to Tom every Tuesday. He's Thursdays on WEAI Afternoon with Arcan and Hart. Tom, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. We'll see you.
Very good, Tom.
Tommy Curran here on WEAI. It is hard to pick out a date.
No, I know.
But I like that.
We had a fun time with it.
There are six games below 500. That's the time.
So that will be after the next three games.
4 weeks from now.
Although they might pull the Miami game out.
Duh. I said 6 weeks from now. Stupid.
Three.
Yeah.
They've already lost three in a row.
Right. Thank you.
But like, they might win the Miami game. And then the London game is against Jacksonville. Like, that could be a slop. That could be. Couldn't that be 9-6? 12-10?
That has last year's Germany game written
off.
That's horrible.
It does.
That could be a dump of a game.
Are those unfair questions to say if you can't play him until it looks right, its logical conclusion is he doesn't play this year, right?
No. I don't know why he was annoyed about how you ask questions, because it's not like you...
I mean, look, I'm annoying. I'm annoying, I get that.
You're obnoxious.
Yeah,
that specifically, you like... If you did that to me, then I would just be like, no, and then I would just answer your question.
Yeah.
Like, correct? No. Incorrect is what I would say. But whatever. Regardless.
But that's a fine needle to thread. And this isn't me jumping down Curran's throat, but just if the Patriots are telling people it's not about, you know, when Drake May is ready, it's about getting the team ready around Drake May and the situation ready for him.
No, he's not going to play all year.
If that situation is never looking right, he shouldn't play, right?
So the first four games of the season, David Andrews was the starting center.
Yeah.
That's probably the best it's going to look.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to look a lot better. Who are you waiting on? Cole Strange? I don't think so.
No.
So City So came back. All right. Also, the line this past week wasn't an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be worse. Like when you see Nick Bosa over there, you're like, oh my God, this guy's going to get a quarterback hit every single snap. And he didn't. Like, they got in his way a little bit.
He did cash that over 0.25 sacks, though.
Yeah, no, it was 0.75 sacks.
I'm sorry, 0.75.
Yeah, he got that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Cash that one.
That was a no-brainer bet.
You're sweating
right
it out a little bit, though.
No, but I think we were on this early in the year where you can't just say, well, once the line comes together, this isn't like you're waiting for Logan Mankins to end his holdout or you got, like, Matt Light down the road.
Right.
This is pretty much the group. Even when they're fully healthy, it kind of stinks. And then when it's not great. And then I also think how the rest of the offense, we'll never know with the Jacoby Brissett offensive line combination if the receivers are worth a damn. So it's not like all of a sudden they're going to play great. How can they? They get open, he misses them, or they don't get open, and you're like, and it's just a jailbreak on offense. So there's never going to be the, now's the time to put in Drake May. Everything's looking pretty solid. I don't know when that's going to be. So it feels like next season.
Yeah.
And even so, then, you trust Elliott Wolf to get four new offensive linemen?
I just don't get why that's such a... I mean, I guess he doesn't want to come out and say Drake May won't play this year, and then Drake May plays, and he looks like he got it wrong. But just... You can just say, I don't think they should play him until the situation's right.
But there's also nuance to it, too, where you could work your way out of there and be like, oh, I felt like it did look better. Yeah. I don't know. It's like subjective.
Right.
You could be like this week you could say, offensive line performed better than I thought. That could be anything.
Sure.
And then he's starting week five, but he's not.
Good culture is also interesting because that feels like it's teetering, but I'm happy he at least landed on it's better than last year because last year was a debacle.
Oh, yeah. We forget. Like, it's so funny to be like, man, I haven't seen a Patriots team this bad since last year.
Like, not everyone believed it was bad last year. A lot of people were like, no. Bill is the greatest coach of all time and the players respect him. No. It was bad last year. It probably is better than that. Good. And also, if they continue to ignore coaching this week against the Dolphins, we can have a conversation next week about culture.
It's so much better.
So, Tom, book, if they lose, book it. We're going to ask about that next week.
First question.
Yeah.
The culture last year was so much worse.
Yeah.
Because the coach didn't talk to one of the defensive coordinators.
Right.
The coach didn't talk to the quarterback. Like, those are three of the five most important people in the locker room.
But
they didn't even talk to each other.
But just because it's better than last year doesn't mean it's good.
That's a low bar. You can step right over that. Jacoby Brissett's better than Mac Jones.
Right.
Okay, great. Yippee skippy.
I do still feel like he's better than Mac Jones,
we might be biased.
I was more bullish on that after week one.
Yeah, it doesn't look right now.
So anyway, good stuff from Tommy Curran. You can check it out on the Odyssey app. If you missed any of it, it'll be up on YouTube shortly. Just subscribe to WEEI. We'll get back into the Patriots. Bill Belichick has no idea what the plan is when it comes to Drake May. In fact, he doesn't think there's a plan. Does he have a point? Let's get to that.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two
more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you been paying attention to it all? How do you feel like Coach Mayo is handling it? What do you think is the conversation that should be had about having a plan for a rookie quarterback and either sticking to it or kind of veering off whenever things aren't going as maybe everybody outside the building thought it should go?
Right. Well, Pat, I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what the plan is, so I don't know. I can't comment on that. If Mayo says he's got a plan, then I guess he's got one, and we'll have to wait to see what it is.
Bill Belichick yesterday on Pat McAfee, I have no idea what their plan is.
What's funny is I read that before I heard it, and when I looked read better it, oh, man, it was super juicy. Like, I don't know what their plan is. Mm-hmm. But it read, like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, you tell me. It looks like a mess up there.
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
But it actually sounds a little bit better, meaning, like, I can't really explain to you what they're doing because I don't know what they're doing.
Well, that's true, and we cut the clip because he went on for, like, another minute that, but he launched into, I actually think they have bigger problems than what's going on at quarterback.
Everybody, like, to the roster. Who's players for these?
Yeah, so he ripped on Wolf, and he ripped on Mayo, and he
gave a really nice compliment to Joey Sly.
He did.
Joey Gunn Sly. He said big improvement.
He said it's
from
a big upgrade from what we had last year, where I was like, boy, Bill, who was your kicker last year?
I know.
Oh, that bum Chad Ryland who you drafted?
Catching strays. So he's like, I'm minding my own business, living my life as a normal person.
In a way, he took a shot at himself. In a way.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that he kind of did.
That was the upright? That's what that was?
You hear that? Chad Ryland smashing in the upright.
So in a way, Bill ripped himself
Joey
for
Sly
Chad
is a
Ryland.
Weapon.
But no, he still took a shot at Mayo and the coaching staff because he said, oh, they lost the game on their field goal protection against Seattle. He ripped the roster. So Bill got into ripping the Patriots and settling scores, but I agree. That comment read better than it sounded. It kind of sounded like, yeah, I don't know the plan because I'm not in the building, is what it ended up sounding like.
Yeah, I can't explain it to you guys.
So we'll get into that. 617-779-7937, along with all your Patriots thoughts. A couple of texts here about the Tommy Curran interview, which if you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY. You can get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Jones, you're annoying.
Yep.
I'm glad Tom put you in your place.
Yep.
You piss off a lot of fans with the way you interview people.
You called him out Tom called you out for being a weasel. My word's not his.
I was going to say, was that a text?
No,
I
thought I saw that. Thought he said a weasel. But
yeah, I don't know. I think the logical conclusion of you can't play him until it's ready for him. You know, I think the logical conclusion is, well, then you don't play him.
It's not the message, it's the messenger.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So if somebody like me asked it, I don't think he'd be upset. But somebody like you asked it, therefore he's upset.
Yeah.
That's how I read it.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah. There's probably a nicer way to ask. But I just, at the end of the day, I feel like that was a safe assumption. And as you said earlier, Keith, you can just correct it.
Oh, you got to go to this top.
He did.
You got to go to line one.
Okay, let's go to line one. Yeah, Jeff's in Worcester. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
How you doing, Jeff? It's 12:30.
I'm doing great. I have to commend you on your interrogation tactics on Tom E. Kern. It reminded me of Sam Kennison in Back to School. Say it! Don't say it!
I've seen that movie. It's been a while since I've seen that film. A Rodney Dangerfield
pretty
vehicle,
good
correct?
Stuff.
Yeah, okay. Is that all, Jeff?
Yep.
Okay, good.
I love it.
Yep.
That's awesome. It was good instincts by me to go to that.
Good interrogation tactics.
Go to Jeff there.
Is what we had there.
We have some other updates.
Well, I was just going to say.
Yeah, you have the Bruins swimming and stuff.
So we both said earlier, there's no way Don Sweeney would come out. Or I'm sorry, Kim Neely, rather.
Yep.
Would come out yesterday and say, we offered $64 million
reasons.
Yeah.
Let me count the ways.
And that's exactly what he said. He said there'd be $64 million reasons for me to get out there. And we said he would never say that if the Bruins didn't really offer it, because you'll look like clowns if that number's out there and you didn't actually offer that number. And then the agent clapped back and said that number was never offered. And what we surmised, or at least I surmised, you actually disagreed with this in real time.
That's right.
But I said, well, maybe the Bruins offered it and the agent knew about it, but the agent never brought it back to Swayman, so he's covering up his tracks, right? You didn't buy into that theory. Frank Ciravelli.
Okay.
And I don't know what we think of Frank Ciravelli's reporting.
I don't know. I can't really tell you strongly one way or the other.
He says Boston's actual offer to Jeremy Swayman, 8 years times 7.8.
What the hell?
Which is $62.4 million. So that's around 64. It's around 8 per, but it's not. Okay.
Okay, what else?
He says the Swayman camp, and this might be where you jump off ship.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
The Swayman camp has been asking for $8.5 million, which would be $68 million.
That's not what I heard.
Boston was somewhere closer to 6.5 AAV, and they felt like they've moved up a lot.
All right, so I don't know Frank Cervelli. I'm sure like he's got good intel or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Scoops Keefe.
No.
But I'm sure he's got
sources. We're not comparing anybody to Scoops Keefe. It's not fair to them. But I just think this would give Louis Gross, the agent of Jeremy Swayman, an out if he says in his statement that $64 million was never brought up. Because if you do the math, it's $62.4 million. So it's very close. It's less than $2 million away. But he could still be right in saying that. Cam Neely rounding up would be reckless. If he did that, again, we still don't really know. I still think Cam Neely is telling the truth over Louis Gross, but we're just left to kind of guess. I don't know where Cervelli falls into
this. What if Neely was just doing, he was saying, I can't do 7.8 times 8 in my head.
But he can, though, because those guys would absolutely know exactly how much they're forking over.
But
one of the biggest contracts on the team.
But what if it just got away from him a little bit? Because I don't think he went in and planned to reveal the number.
But okay.
So what if it got away from him and he said it's $64 million, he rounded up, the agent did the right thing by swooping in and saying, they never offered $64 million.
All right, but here's where I don't agree with it. So first of all, I've been saying 10 for months is what they asked for, not like what I have to play for, but what I asked for.
And Cervelli says they were asking
for. And then I think, was it Elliot Friedman came out and was like 9.5?
Yeah,
like,
the McAvoy contract.
So I'm still sticking with 10. He's saying 9.5. So now Cervelli's coming in with 8.5. So if you want to believe this, and I don't, and here's the main reason why. So if the Bruins really offered a total package of 62.4 and Swayman's camp wants 68, does Cam Neely have a hissy fit yesterday at the press conference?
No.
He was so mad and so hot, they weren't $4 million or $5 million away. So my take is they're a lot further away. There's been a lot more MFing each other, probably back and forth, hanging up the phone. There's been a lot more of that. If they were $4 million away, Cam Neely says, hey, we're still negotiating with Swayman. We hope to get something done before December 1st. You kind of leave it like that. He was way too bothered.
He's a dead man that hit me with the salt shaker.
Like way, way too. They're got to be further away than this. If this guy is correct, that's crazy to act like that.
So let's not get into revealing sources, but his source is probably the agent. Because
it's not Louis Gross, but it's Louis Gross.
Let's not get into who his source could be, but I think it's Louis Gross. Because it would make sense, this is the answer back, okay? So here's what I think happened. They're pissed, and they should be, that Neely is revealing numbers, okay?
Yep.
So they're pissed about that. So they say, well, what can we do? Neely, it probably got away from him a little bit. He said, we offered 64. It's 7.8, not 8 million per year. That's actually 62.5 million or whatever. And so the agent says, well, you know what? 64 was never really offered in a statement. Then he leaks out to a friendly media member, Frank Cervelli.
Yeah.
That it was actually 62 and change. So now the agent's right. 64 was never offered. Neely's mostly right, but it got away from him. And he can also leak out that they're asking for 8.5, Keith. And the reason you might do that, and you tell me, again, you're the Scoops.
Get people back on your side a little bit.
You just don't look as ridiculous as 10. Like, you might really be asking for 10, but do I think they want it out there that they're asking for 10? You're a great reporter.
They
you
don't.
Sussed out
Thank
that
you.
They're asking
That's
for
right.
10,
right.
But they weren't leaking out. They're asking for 10. That got out because of your intrepid reporting.
So maybe
they put out there, we're asking for 8.5 because the number they actually want is 8.5.
You know, like they would take that, you mean?
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
they're
asking
for 10 to get the Bruins to get to 8.5, and now that 8.5 number is out there, and it's all coming from the agent. That, to me, makes sense.
Well, there's also not a timetable here, so the way it's written is like they have been asking for 8.5, but maybe they came down, right? Like maybe the negotiation, if the Bruins started in the sixes and Swayman started in the tens, then they or 10, then they both kind of go back to their corners, they come back out, and then maybe then this is where the 8.5 shows up. But I can't imagine the initial ask was 8.5. Not based on everything else. Not based on resetting the goalie market. Cam Neely saying he was surprised by the ask. Like all, you'd really be shocked by $8.5 million. That puts you like the fifth highest goalie. Like
what
that's
if,
not insane.
What if
but his ask is and what we believe his comp group is are two different things.
You also believe the Bruins won't go past 8, though.
I do.
Okay, so maybe this is like the
and
last.
And Neely confirmed that really to me yesterday.
No, he did.
Yeah.
And so you asked us earlier, what's more likely? He takes the 8 or the Bruins raise their offer?
So this kind of contradicts what I was just saying. I think it would be Swayman taking the eight because I think once
more likely you're not saying it's going to happen.
No, no, just right, right. More likely. I just think I think all right. Preseason game or you know no games is easy. Even just practice is easy. Preseason games getting a little bit more of an itch. Regular season games, watching your team play regular season games. It happened to Nylander. I think it could happen to Swayman. I think he could say, "Man, I thought I did everything right. I thought I was going to get my way, but eight's not bad, and I just want to play hockey."
Yeah, and it matters how they're playing, too. I mean, if the team is a disaster, they're more likely to cave. And so, you know, this is something Raycroft said earlier, and we're going to revisit some of what Razor told us.
He said, goalies are a dime a dozen.
He said, anybody can play goalie. It's easy. You can pull the popcorn vendor out of the stands. Mm-hmm. No, but he said that, you know, the Bruins have all the leverage is effectively what he's saying. I'm like, well, no, the leverage is a gaping hole in net. And if Korpisalo looks like Ottawa Korpisalo and Bussy's not ready, he's got a ton of leverage.
Right.
And that's the card he can play right now. Let's get to some phone calls quickly. Let's see. Johnny's waiting patiently in Brooklyn.
Johnny.
Hey. Thank you, guys. I wanted to talk to you about something that Lou Maroney said last Friday when he called in about the Red Sox.
Okay.
Yeah, there were shades of Mike Gorman saying, I wouldn't want to trade Jared Sullinger when he was talking about Trevor Story at shortstop. Did you pick up on that?
He was very pro-Story and kind of anti-Marcelo Meyer.
Which I don't hate that last part. Like, Marcelo Meyer might not be great.
Totally
but, like,
fair.
Trevor Story isn't. Like, we know Trevor Story's going to get hurt probably, and even if he's healthy, he's not as great as they signed up for. So I'm with you on that, Johnny. I think Trevor Story, by him, is overrated, okay. But...
Yeah, I mean, I'm always out on prospects. I think trade prospects for real players. But if they really think Trevor Story is going to be the answer at shortstop next year, it's such a facepalm. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, Johnny, it's the one thing that I will say about the Red Sox is you can't say that you need depth on the big league roster, but then also say we're loaded with all these lefties. Like, both of those things can't be true.
Yeah. And now, Story is a righty, so that's one guy that maybe you do want to kind of keep. I think he could play second.
You're
base,
stuck with Trevor Story. I just wouldn't bank on him doing anything.
So, do you know that he's been on the team for 3 years? Does that seem insane?
Yeah, it feels like he's played about a month.
He has played 163 games with the Red Sox.
In 3 years?
Yeah, so he's played one for the...
nice.
Three for the price of one, or one for the price of three, I guess. And 21 home runs.
Nice.
I believe, four of those came in one game?
I believe that it was like, no, and like seven in like a week.
It was
that whole week.
He dominated in 2022.
His May, right? He had like a hot May. And you're like, wow, what a signing.
.232 batting average, .693 OPS.
That's not bad.
In a season. It is bad.
They should trade him to Atlanta. He'll win MVP next year.
Send him back to Colorado. It's the only place he can hit.
That's true. He might get hurt for the postseason like Chris Sale. We'll get to that.
That is insane.
That's grab bag territory?
Oh, it's in the bag.
Okay, that's in the bag?
It's in the bag.
Okay, well, we'll get to that coming up. We'll also get to Kiefer Madness. It's Tuesday, 12:45-ish, which means that is time for Kiefer Madness. It's next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a dude.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
The maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Send me naked pictures of you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I played at a high level myself. Two MVPs.
Nice. Here we go. It is time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. And we go to the great state of Oklahoma. For this one, Jones, you ever been to Oklahoma?
No, Oklahoma. I have not.
Me neither. I don't think there's any real reason to go there.
Yeah, I hear Tulsa's kind of cool.
Tulsa's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You heard that? Who did you hear that from?
Sly Stallone's running around there, Tulsa King.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
I did hear that. That's a good show.
Yeah.
Maybe
you could
else?
Go to University of Oklahoma.
University of Oklahoma. It is like it was a Heisman factory for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams. Sort of.
Did he not win Heisman?
He did, but I think it's Southern Cal.
Oh, yeah.
Duh, right.
He left Oklahoma. Right.
But a lot of good players. The Boz. Yeah. The Boz was there.
I love him.
But this is one of those classic, maybe dumb criminal stories. So let's go to, I think it's Coco News. Not like our own Coco.
Coco
News. K-O-C-O.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. What do they have?
Abby Evan, that's right. You got to give it to this guy.
Oh, sorry. Let me start over. Unfortunately, I always like the early banter toss to.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They start with the dude like on the scene. Like they don't have the two people at the desk kind of just filling time and then they're like, and here he is.
Yeah.
Here's the jackass.
Walter, you got anything down there, Walter?
Yeah, so they toss it to the guy and he gets started.
Abby Evan, that's right. You gotta give it to this guy. He did try and make it to his court date. Unfortunately, he did it maybe the worst way possible.
All right, guesses. We need some guesses. Tried to make it to his court date,
mm-hmm.
but did it in the worst way possible. Nick Lanny Jones, any stabs as to how this gentleman tried to make it to his court date?
Maybe he, what's the mascot there at the University of Oklahoma?
That would be a Sooner.
Boomer Sooner?
A Boomer Sooner? With a big old...
The Schooner?
You think
like
it's
the
a
wagon
schooner?
Is a schooner, I think it is.
Yeah.
But
he tried to steal one of those, like...
Oh, that's good.
Covered wagons?
That's good.
Tried to steal one of those?
Could steal a covered wagon.
Yeah, it's very...
Lanny?
Hang glide.
State specific.
Hang glide to the court date. That's good. Yep. Nick?
I was going to go with stole a horse.
Stole a horse. Also in the mix. All right, those are all good guesses.
It is Oklahoma.
Yeah. It is Oklahoma.
Probably a lot of horses riding around you could steal.
I would imagine horses, bulls. That's a Texas thing. Big rivalry between the two.
Emerald Square Mall thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So let's find out what this gentleman did.
This is Cody Adams. Shortly after Oklahoma Highway Patrol troopers arrested him near the Pawnee County Courthouse, OHP says earlier, Adams was at a gas station in Stillwater asking people for a ride to his court date in Pawnee.
So, first of all, that's not the best sign. Just asking random people at a gas station if you can bring me to court?
Yeah.
I think you're going to get a lot of no's.
I
think you're going to be like, no. Like, I want to be a good Samaritan.
I would say no.
Was he in the orange jumpsuit and had handcuffs on?
Yeah, true. I don't love it.
By the way, Pawnee.
Pawnee.
I thought it was in Indiana. Yeah.
I thought it was in Indiana as well.
Interesting.
I know, but I guess not.
Okay. Stillwater asking people for a ride to his court date in Pawnee. When he couldn't find a ride, OHP says Adams decided to hop in this unoccupied LifeNet Emergency Services vehicle and drive himself to court.
Yeah, he stole a life emergency vehicle.
Okay.
Couldn't get to court. Saw one there.
He had a court date.
He is opportunistic.
The man had a court date.
Does not want to miss the court date.
You don't want to disrespect the judge.
That's true.
You ever see My Cousin Vinny? That judge.
I have seen My Cousin Vinny.
That judge was about respect.
That's true.
You don't disrespect that judge.
Don't you dare wear a leather jacket in my court.
Yeah, seriously.
Judge Harry on night court, same rules.
Yeah, I mean, you don't disrespect the judge. You got to show up. I can't miss my court date.
Judge Mills Lane. Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
It's Judge.
Mock trial with Judge Reinhold. And his hung William hung in his hung jury.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's true. So he wants to be punctual. If nothing else, he wants to be punctual.
I mean, look, maybe he didn't take the best vehicle, but
you can only make a first impression once.
The broadcaster said, right in the beginning there, the newsman said his heart was in the right place.
I think that's true. The on-site reporter. Not enough years in the field to get on a desk.
Good point.
He's out there.
Good point.
Working his way up.
That was left on, running, and unattended.
They say Adams took the truck on that 30-minute drive to Pawnee and then ditched it.
He's not close. I mean, that's a half hour. They ditched it.
Yeah, he committed another crime.
Right, like, wouldn't you just park it and, like, hope nobody notices and just leave it there?
Michael Myers stole that car and then ditched it on the side of the road.
It's my other job.
And a lot of people didn't like that Michael Myers learned how to drive.
Yeah, but they do say in the movie, you must have taught him. So they closed that loophole.
They kind of rogue one.
They tightened that up?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they did. They were like, people are mad
questions
about
this.
Where'd he ditch it? Side of the road?
Behind a phone booth.
Kind of near the courthouse, I would imagine.
And, like, push it into a ditch.
Okay. Put a cement block on the thing, like, off a cliff. Like, you didn't need to destroy the car, sir.
He lit it on fire.
Like, I've seen this in a lot of movies.
Burned it down,
They say Adams took the truck on that 30-minute drive to Pawnee and then ditched it.
First responders had an idea of where that vehicle might be headed to.
A trooper caught him as he was walking into the courthouse. Adams saying he was just borrowing the truck.
It's not how it works.
So close.
It's not how any of this works.
I like how they're like they thought they had a good idea where it went. Clearly, he had already asked them for a ride. Clearly, they're like, yeah, there was this weirdo at the gas station asking everybody for a ride to their court date.
I need to go to the courthouse in Pawnee.
Why? check
or Stillwater.
We have a good idea. Yeah. Why don't you check the courthouse? We think we have a good idea where this guy is and where our vehicle is.
You imagine two guys like getting coffee and they see their car drive away. They're like, he definitely took it to the courthouse. Yeah, he 100%
did. That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
It's not.
We should probably just drive to the courthouse. We can find him.
Yeah,
he'll be there.
It's going to be there or in the vicinity of there. We know exactly who took it. Guy was very clear. If we didn't give him a ride, he's going to steal our vehicle.
A trooper caught him as he was walking into the courthouse. Adam saying he was just borrowing the truck.
The trooper did. I believe he made sure that he made his court date.
Now, he still did make his court case again. OHP says after court, he was transported back to the Payne County Jail and booked on new charges. Reporting live, Zach Royale, KOCO 5 News.
So somehow close. Not in the story, but in the news story that I read, mm-hmm. Do you want to take one guess as to what the court date was about?
Yes.
Like the original court date. What was he in trouble for?
Parking tickets.
Stealing a car. So the guy stole a car to go to court in order to plead guilty or not guilty to stealing another car.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
I don't have a car because I stole a car.
Yeah.
And now I'm, dealing with the aftermath of that. So how do I get to my court date?
I don't know. You got to steal a car, apparently.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he did it maybe the worst way possible.
Yeah. He's a repeater now. He's in a lot. This guy's going to be in a little bit of trouble.
Why do you think he didn't take like an Uber? Surge pricing?
Maybe a financial
surge.
Situation.
You're waiting
price.
Around here for UberX.
Pawnee, it's super, super high demand, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that could take a while to, you got to wait around. And he's like, I can just go now.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will take me.
Judge, I'm sorry. I stole the vehicle because I was waiting out surge pricing on
it's
Uber.
It's not a bad point on the text line. He was having a life emergency, so why not take the life emergency vehicle?
Twitch chat said keys are in the vehicle.
Go.
Not his fault.
Well, still stealing, though. Is it a gray area?
He said it was borrowing.
Is it a gray? Yeah.
Gray area.
Yeah, gray
area. All right, that's fine. So if a car's running, you can just take it?
Yeah, I think that's allowed.
I'll tell you what, I play with fire, because a lot of times when I get my coffee, I just leave the car running. Run in and run out.
I don't leave it running, but I do leave stuff of value in there all the time, like cell phones and stuff. Yeah. Like, I'll leave that in there all the time.
You leave cell phones in there?
Run in and grab a coffee? Yeah, I've left the cell phone in my car.
Oh, so I'll
I don't
leave
it running.
I'll leave the car running, but bring the cell phone.
You're like, take my car.
Take it, please.
Whatever you do, don't take my cell phone.
Yeah. Maybe I leave it running all the time.
Maybe that is smarter in retrospect.
Yeah, because then you're like, oh, worst case scenario, like the car's gone. That's a pain in the ass. But now car and phone and credit card and everything else.
Well, I take my wallet with me.
Oh, gotcha.
I take my keys with me, but I leave the cell phone.
Wait a minute. But the car's not running.
It's annoying to sometimes turn things back on and myself. So I leave the cell phone hooked to the Bluetooth. It's annoying to like redo that sometimes.
Got it.
So I leave that in the car so it all stays hooked up.
But I have to leave my keys in the car, because if I take my keys out of the car, obviously the thing
stops running. Yeah, it's all in there.
It's a whole issue, but... I know, so I'm playing with fire.
Basically,
every day.
If you have a court date, look for one of our cars. And
if you see me coming, you got about a 4-minute window to steal my car, and then you better be out of there.
Yeah. You really want to figure out my day and,
that's it.
See what I have going on. You could easily steal my vehicle or my cell phone.
That's right.
Yeah. Huh? Okay. Well, there you go. It's Key for Madness.
There it is.
Each and every day. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, each and every week, rather, at this time on Jones and Keith.
Okay.
Now, let's get back to the Bruins. Newsy story today. Andrew Raycroft came on. Hates goalies, apparently.
Oh, dime a dozen.
Not looking out for his fellow goalie.
No, sir.
Very, very pro big business. Very pro the Bruins in this case. I'll get back to what Razor said earlier. We'll get all the latest on Jeremy Swayman with your phone calls next.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.